trucking safety is in the news after the traffic accident this weekend that left comedian Tracy Morgan in critical but stable condition. Authorities are blaming the crash on alleged sleep deprivation of the truck driver responsible. It's being reported now that he hadn't slept in over 24 hours before the accident.
This crash has sparked a national conversation about highway safety, particularly the dangers of sleep-deprived driving for truckers, and the issue is before the U.S. Senate with possible rollbacks in current safety regulations. Joan Claybrook is with us now. She's a consumer co-chair for Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety and former administrator for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Joan, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
Well, when you first heard about this crash involving Tracy Morgan and the allegedly sleep-deprived trucker who hit his limo van, what was your first thought?
My response is that this happens about 80 times a week, that there are 4,000 people killed a year in these types of truck crashes, with about 30 to 40% of them being from tired truckers, and over 100,000 people are injured. It's a real national shame, and it all has to do with the rules that are set by the federal government governing hours of service by truck drivers.
Now, I want to emphasize a statistic that you just laid out there because it's thought-provoking. Nearly 4,000 people die in large truck crashes each year, and driver fatigue a leading factor, and that is according to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Sounds like an issue that has been on the radar for a while. How long has this been a subject of debate?
Oh, about, since the 1930s. But more aggressively since the 1990s. And the Congress has mandated that the Department of Transportation issue some tighter rules. And instead, what happened was the trucking industry swung into action, stopped the Clinton administration from spending any money to do that, so they used an appropriations bill. And then we sued the Bush administration, the safety groups, to force them to issue a new rule. And instead of issuing an improved rule, lowering the hours of service, they increased the hours of service from 10 hours a day to 11 hours a day. And they also cut back on some other protections for the driving hours of these drivers.
Some new regulations were passed just last year. Now they could be rolled back. Why is the trucking industry hoping for more relaxed regulations right now?
But that's their business. That's what they do. They give a lot of money to Congress, and they try and stop any kind of improvements in the work conditions for truck drivers. And that's why there's so much turnover. There's a huge amount of turnover in truck drivers, which is not good for the public because you have inexperienced drivers sometimes as a result of this turnover managing these trucks. And you got to realize that they drive 11 hours a day. They only get a half hour off in the first 8 hours. These trucks are so difficult to drive. If you take your eyes off the road for a nanosecond, you could have a crash. And they don't get paid overtime. They are paid by the mile. So they're encouraged to drive as fast and as long as they possibly can get away with it. The records of their driving hours are paper logs. We've been fighting for electronic logs for a long time, and hopefully within a year or so that will happen. But in the meantime, these rules are almost unenforceable, even as bad as they are. The truck drivers are required to work up to additional 3 hours loading and unloading the truck, for which they don't get paid. And the issue that's under dispute with the Congress right now is the time that the truck driver gets off for a so-called weekend. But they call it 34 hours. They only get off for 34 hours as opposed to 48 hours. And what the Obama administration did to slightly improve the hours of service rule was to say that they had any driver who drove at least 70 hours a week, if you can imagine, would have to have 2 nights off before going back to work.
And how much time in those 2 nights would be spent off or sleeping or resting?
34 hours. 34 hours.
34 hours off.
Total. 34 hours off total.
And wasn't there something about sleep needing to be taken between 1 and 5 a.m.?
That's the 2 nights that they have to have sleep. In other words, the arrangement of that 34-hour period has to include 2 nights.
I see.
So that's the 1 to 5, saying they have to be available to sleep at least during those hours. It was originally 12 to 6, and the trucking industry complained, so they cut it back to 1 to 5.
So this is the rule that is perhaps going to be rolled back now if a particular amendment passes?
Yes, it passed through the Senate Appropriations Committee. They put it on an Appropriations Committee because it was convenient. That means that these bills more likely get enacted than others. And so they wanted on put it on a bill that was going to get enacted. And it passed out of the Senate Appropriations Committee on Thursday. Most of the members had no idea what this was about, didn't understand it. And the way it was explained was so confusing that it focused on the fact that they had to be at home from 1 to 5. And then people said, well, if they can go back to work at 5 or 5:30 or 6, there are going to be a lot of trucks on the highway when our kids are going to school. Well, this doesn't affect every truck driver. It only affects those truck drivers who are the most overworked of all, the ones that drive 70 hours a week at that point. Then they have to take the 34 hours off, and they have to, in that 34 hours, have to have two nights to sleep.
Well, now at this point, the nation has heard about this accident on the New Jersey freeways between Tracy Morgan and his van, the people with him, and this Walmart truck, and the driver who was allegedly very tired and sleep-deprived. What are some other instances, some worst-case scenarios that you've seen?
Oh, well, some of these truck crashes kill whole families. And there's one gentleman here in Washington, D.C., who lost his sister, their three children, and his mother, five people. And in that same crash, five other people were killed. When there's a crash between a huge truck, one that weighs 80,000 pounds, and a car, or even an SUV, or in the case of Tracy Morgan, it was a very large Mercedes limousine SUV. So it was one of the heavier types of vehicles. And there's no chance of survival for a lot of the people when those trucks hit. And often, if the truck is behind you, the truck driver falls asleep, and then the traffic slows down, they just run right over you. One of the people who we work with, who lives in Florida, her son and his new bride were killed on 95 just north of Miami in that very type of crash. So these crashes happen all the time, and they're one by one. They're not like a plane going down or a nuclear explosion or something that is threatening to a large number of people. It's one by one by one. And if it hadn't been for Tracy Morgan's crash and the focus of the press on this celebrity, I'm not sure that anybody in America would have ever known about the secret quiet effort to get this amendment rolling back the rest time and increasing the driving time that went through the Senate Appropriations bill on Thursday.
Now, in terms of the Tracy Morgan crash, Walmart has said that they think the driver involved in the crash was operating within current legal regulations, federal regulations. What kinds of regulations do you think are needed then to protect drivers from crashes like this one?
Well, I don't know enough about whether or not he was operating within the legal requirements or not. The truck drivers are supposed to rest for 10 hours, have 10 hours off. They have to drive for 11 hours. They have three additional hours that they can be required to work without being paid for loading, unloading, and waiting at the dock and so on. And then they have 10 hours off. And so these truck drivers can work up to 70 hours in a seven-day period. And that's just too much. It's very strenuous work. And so I don't know whether the driver in this case, when he got his 10 hours off, whether he went and partied or whether he went to sleep. I have no idea. They say he didn't sleep, which is ridiculous and silly on his part, clearly, because he fell asleep. And you're going to fall asleep if you don't rest. But it's a grueling life, and particularly for long-haul drivers, because they're away from home a lot, and they want to get home, so they drive extra fast, and they get paid by the mile, so they want to go as fast as they possibly can.
Now, members of the American Trucking Association have said current regulations could actually make roads more dangerous by forcing trucks on highways during the busy times of day when truckers could be driving at night in the wee hours of the morning when no one's on the road. And this is looking particularly at that rest time between 1 and 5 a.m. that we were talking about earlier. What would you say to that?
Well, it's only once a week. It's not like they have to do it every night. It's once a week they're required to do this. And it's only for those drivers who have already driven 70 hours. So it's not going to have a large flow of trucks coming on the highway. They could do this on Wednesday and Thursday night. They don't have to do it on Saturday and Sunday night. It depends on how they their hours flow. So it's a little complicated in terms of counting the hours, but it does not require a huge number of trucks to be on the highway when people are on the highway as well. Many, 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 many trucks, most trucks that want to drive at night will drive at night and can, and that's legal.
We're talking right now to Joan Claybrook with Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety about what regulations should be in place for truck drivers in light of the New Jersey accident that critically injured comedian Tracy Morgan and killed one passenger. We're hearing that there are about 4,000 people who die as a result of a large truck crash each year, driver fatigue the leading factor.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see more strict requirements on how much rest, how much sleep truck drivers get if you are a truck driver? What's your story? What do you think of the regulations? Do people follow them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
We're picking up our discussion now about trucking safety regulations in light of the crash that put comedian Tracy Morgan in critical but stable condition. According to authorities, the truck driver who caused the accident hadn't slept for 24 hours before he got behind the wheel that night.
And we want to hear from you. What do you think about truck drivers or whether they're getting enough sleep? Would you like to see tighter federal regulations on this? And if you're a trucker yourself, we'd especially like to hear from you. What do you think about the laws in place? Do you follow them? Is corporate pressure, company pressure too strong to maybe, you know, skirt the edges here and there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org.
And we're going to go to our first caller now. Brian is with us in Beaver Dam. Hi there.
Hi. Okay, I got a couple points I wanted to cover real quickly. One thing is that if you're not stressed and you're not being rushed, and I think most trucking companies don't really push their drivers to the point of forcing them to do things that they don't want to do because they know it's dangerous and they could be in deep trouble. But the way the system is designed, you need to move or you're not going to make some money. Okay, now my point of all of this is that you shouldn't have to be worrying about breaking laws that everyone knows right now is dangerous by having to take off a certain amount of time at once, because when you're at a truck stop waiting to get loaded or unloaded, there could be 2 hours in between, an hour or 3 hours or 4 hours. That should count as time being able to sleep, so that when you get back on the road again, you can legally log in where you are and what you did and slept, and then drive on another 6-8 hours, and then when you get to your next stop, you sleep 2-3 hours, and then you go on again. As long as you get 12 hours of sleep on, 12 hours of sleep and driving in a day's time, most people would be able to do that, but they cheat the system and they wind up driving huge hours and then sleeping for just a few.
And Brian, are you a trucker?
Yeah.
And so it sounds like you're saying that you think that truckers sort of self-regulate their sleep and that the laws might not be necessary.
Yeah, because they keep several log books so that they keep changing the logs as time goes on to make it fit their needs, so that they can get to the next place and possibly get home before Friday, you know, and Thursday night instead. Things like that cause, you know, them to be stressed and force the issue.
All right, let's get our guest in on this. Joan, what do you have to say to that? Truckers maybe sneak their sleep in different patterns, and it sounds like that's one way to get the job done.
Well, a large amount of research has been done on the issue of sleep, and sleeping 2 hours or 3 hours on the run and not in a bed where you're, you know, able to really go into a deep sleep is not a substitute for having 8 hours of sleep or even 7 hours of straight sleep. So I certainly would oppose that. I think that if you're waiting for a truck to be loaded, who knows where you can lie down and take a nap. And naps are fine. I don't oppose them at all, but they shouldn't count as regular sleep.
Thanks a lot for that call, Brian. And we're going to move next to Andre, who's joining us in Green Bay. Hi there, Andre.
Well, hello.
What do you think?
I work at a company, and I help to manage a fleet of drivers to help, you know, And part of that process involves making sure that they're safe, well-rested, and healthy to be driving. And also, I manage a lot of, you know, logging kinds of issues. So one of the things that the guest has said, I really fundamentally disagree with, though I agree with most of the message, that our drivers need to be well-rested in order to be safe on the road. The way we've added the 1 to 5 time frame for that 34-hour reset, you have to hit it twice in a 34-hour time period. Now, there's a lot of drivers who wanted to drive at night who can't anymore, and I'll tell you why. Because the guest said it wasn't a big issue if it's only once a week or so. But that's not quite right. In order to drive at night, you have to readjust your circadian rhythm so that you are adapted to driving at night and being awake during that time period and being asleep during the time periods you might otherwise be awake. If you are once a week, or let's say you're on a let's say you don't do a 34 every time, and you're constantly having to readapt to fall asleep between 1 and 5 in the morning, 2 nights out of that week period, that gets a little rough to keep your circadian rhythm adapted to a nighttime schedule. That makes it hard for drivers to stay awake when they need to be driving.
And Andre, what would you think about a regulation that called for the same 4 hours, 2 consecutive nights, but just didn't call for it in the nighttime, the 1 to 5?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What would you think if those 4 hours of sleep on 2 consecutive nights were still in place, but it just wasn't during the nighttime so truckers could drive and they could sleep during the day?
Well, I think that would be fine. I mean, my main concern is that drivers, when they're taking their breaks, are getting enough sleep. So I really like the 10-hour. I would like to see if they're taking a 34, they get 2 consecutive periods that are, you know, adjacent like that so that they get that sleep period. And that's good. But I don't think I'd like – I think – we need to move away from regulating a specific time period the drivers can sleep and just make sure they're sleeping consistently so their circadian rhythm is lined up.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you so much for that call, Andre. And Joan, what about the circadian rhythm thing? If truckers are adjusted to sleeping at night, it's a big deal to shift everything and then be sleeping instead of driving.
Well, there's been a lot of research done, on whether or not this rule should make sure that they have 2 nights involved in that 34-hour period. And the reason why is that the body, even though the circadian rhythm is temporarily adjusted to a nighttime occupation, driving, in fact, you get better sleep at night. And so that's the reason the rule was written the way it is, because there is deeper sleep and better sleep. So, and it doesn't actually change the circadian rhythm to do that. So that's the reason the rule was written that way. But what the trucking industry wants to do, the industry and the lobbyists in Washington want to do, is they just want to get rid of that. And I think that the whole hours of service system should be changed so that drivers do not have to drive 11 hours, which I think is just inhumane. And that's the reason I think there's so much turnover in truck drivers. And you know, 8 or 9 hours of driving, that's enough. And the trucking industry essentially is operating what I think of as sweatshops on wheels. I mean, these guys are working in ways that no one else in America has to work. 11 hours of driving, 11 hours of work, not being paid while they're stopped for loading and unloading, and paid by the mile instead of by the hour. It's really a terrible system. And it ought to be completely overhauled. But in the meantime, at least this small protection of if you've driven 70 hours in a week, which is, I mean, most people can't imagine doing that. But if they've driven 70 hours in a week, they have to take off at least with 2 nights involved.
All right, let's go back to our phones now and take Chris, who's joining us in Neenah. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, hi, good evening. You know, I'm a truck driver of a little different stripe in that my truck goes 600 miles an hour and says Boeing on it. but I'm very much in the I'm in the same industry. I am a cargo hauler, albeit I am flying a large jumbo jet, both domestically and on international runs, pretty much all over the globe. Now, the National Transportation Safety Board has looked at the rest requirements and the hours of service for all transportation workers for a long, long time and have made endless recommendations. In my knowledge, of course, we're talking about the FAA, Of course, truckers have different agencies that they're beholden to. The FAA has refused to do much of anything until a number of years ago when a very, very splashy crash happened in Buffalo, New York. A Colgan commuter airliner crashed in the wee small hours, killed everybody on board, as well as a couple of people in the house that it crashed into. So public opinion was stirred. The FAA finally decided that, boy, we really need to get some rested pilots. They proposed rulemaking that would provide for much better recognition of circadian rest patterns. Pilots flying in the overnight hours would get more rest than pilots in the daytime because, you know, no matter how much you do of late night work, you never become totally 100% adapted to it. Your rest, the body naturally wants to sleep when it's dark outside. At any rate, long story short, FedEx and UPS saw that they were going to have vastly increased personnel costs and lobbied long and hard, spent tons of money lobbying the Congress in the United States, and they were actually able to achieve what is known in the industry as the cargo cutout. The FAA passed new rest rule requirements for airline pilots and exempted the entire cargo industry. Those of us who mostly operate at night and were in the most need of relief continue to operate under the old rules. So,
and your take on that, Chris, was that a good call?
Believe that you probably understand that I do not agree with that position. No.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Appreciate your calling and your take there. And Chris getting at the challenges with airline pilots and some of the decisions with cargo planes being exempted from some rules. What do you think as we wrap up here, Joan, what do you think is the takeaway now as we're in this position, national attention, spotlight focus there? What should we be thinking about?
We should be thinking about changing the rules to protect the drivers or the pilots that are doing the hard work of moving our cargo so that they're rested, so they don't threaten the lives of other people because of their exhaustion. And I believe that that means that they should have a maximum of 8 or 9 hours of driving or flying a day, and they should be paid for every hour that they work. They should be paid overtime if they work overtime, and that will discourage the companies from making them work these longer hours because they don't want to pay overtime. And they should be allowed to get enough rest. And then the number of truck crashes will decrease drastically from 4,000 down to, I don't know what, but a much larger, much lower number. I don't know the number of deaths from cargo planes, but I think it's relatively small. But then they're not maneuvering in traffic with cars and people who stop suddenly and traffic that stops and goes. So they have, in a way, while it's a very challenging job, they have an easier time than the truck driver. But I think all these rules ought to be reevaluated, and the trucking industry and the airline industry and the air cargo industry should not be allowed to call the shots. And that's what's going on right now. Chris put his finger on it.
And we're going to leave it there. Joan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, I did want to say that if anyone wants to know more about truck safety, they can go to www.trucksafety.org.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Joan Claybrook, consumer co-chair for Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety and former administrator for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.